Now, history shows that the city of Philadelphia in the first century was a city that was surrounded by wickedness and idolatry. However, I have a strong opinion that every city in that area, we could have said the exact same thing. But Jesus said, though you are surrounded by this wickedness and idolatry, I still have the opportunity to open doors of opportunity. And that open door is based strictly on the fact that they acknowledged his sovereign power. Now, brethren, every congregation of the Lord's church, whether we're talking about Port Lavaca or somewhere else, has to acknowledge the sovereign power of Jesus Christ. No acknowledgement, no opportunity. No acknowledgement, and the doors are closed. A congregation must exist on the teaching of the Word of God. Jesus said, "The word that I have spoken, the same will judge us in the last day." So a congregation can only exist under the power or the authority of Jesus. And though we'll talk about this a little bit later, remember also Jesus said, "All authority hath been given unto me both in heaven and in earth." Now, though Clint read from Revelation chapter 3, our text is actually going to be what we call the Great Commission, as written down by Matthew. So open, if you will, to Matthew 28. I want to back up to verse 16 in just a moment and read. Matthew 28, beginning with verse 16. The Great Commission. Now, brethren, first and foremost, we need to realize that the commission of our Lord to teach all nations was not only binding upon those disciples of the first century, but it's also binding upon us. Now, this is very important. What Jesus is giving them, what Jesus is giving us, is a worldwide commission to make disciples of the world. A worldwide commission. But not only is this a worldwide commission, it's also a personal, one-on-one, person-to-person, individual mission. Brethren, let's admit it. Most of us are not going to go to all nations of the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, I sincerely doubt if any of us will go to all nations, to go to all the world. But we go to our families, and we go to our friends, and we go to our neighbors. So if your Bible is open, the passage reads like this. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him. But some doubted. We'll talk about that in just a moment. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All power is given unto me both in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And then the promise, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Now, brethren, admittedly, that's an amazing statement that Jesus made. Amen. Especially dealing with what he and the disciples had just dealt with. The time frame of Jesus' commission to the disciples is the time frame that he is just about to leave the earth and ascend back into heaven. Matthew 28 ends almost where Acts 1 begins. He commissions them and he leaves them. He departs. So he wants to give them this mission. He wants them to go to all nations. And brethren, evidently they did, because all the known world knew about Jesus, heard about Jesus. And we're Christians today because the message went to all nations. So he entrusted them with a mission of evangelism. Getting back to what we said a moment ago, their mission is our mission. If they were to teach, we are to teach. If they were to evangelize, we are to evangelize. If they were to go, than we are to go. It was given to them, but it is also given to us. Now, before we actually get into the lesson itself, I want to go back and reread just a part of that reading and explain it. I think I need to explain it because I think sometimes we just let this part of the scripture get away from us. Now, at this point, all the disciples had seen Jesus. He appeared to them after the resurrection in the upper room. Thomas was not there. And made the bold proclamation, until I put my fingers in the holes of his hand and my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, Jesus appears to them again. This time, Thomas is there. All of the disciples, all of the apostles have seen Jesus by this time. And now they've traveled from Jerusalem, Judea, up to Galilee. They've gone to the mountain where Jesus told them he would meet them. Verse 17, when they saw him, when the apostles saw him, they worshiped him. But that's not the end of the thought. They evidently is just some. Some worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Have you ever really thought about that phraseology before? They had been away from Jesus. They go to Galilee. They see Jesus. They worship him as the Son of God. But some of them doubted. What did they doubt? What did they doubt? They didn't doubt the resurrection. They saw him die on the cross. They didn't doubt his physical appearance. There he was right with them. I think what they doubted was his ability to do what he said he was going to do. And what did he say he was going to do? I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I think some, even of those apostles, doubted that Jesus was going to be able to do what he said he was going to do. They just didn't think he had that ability. How was he going to build that church? If he went back to Jerusalem, no doubt the soldiers would re-arrest him and they would re-crucify him. How was he possibly going to build the church? I think that's what they were thinking, because immediately Jesus says to them, all power has been given unto me. All authority has been given unto me. I have the ability to do what I said I was going to do. I said I was going to build the church, and the church is going to be built. But he needed their help. Jesus was about to ascend back to heaven. He was about to go home. He was about to go back to his Father. He needed their help. And brethren, he needs our help today. He has no feet but our feet. No hands but our hands. No mouth to speak the gospel except through our mouth. He's been given all authority, all power, but he expects us to carry out the same mission that he expected Peter and James and John and the rest of the apostles. But Jesus said, I've been given all of this power in heaven on earth. Now, depending on the translation you use, some translations say authority and some say power. And that's why usually when I read this passage, I add both of them. All of power or all authority hath been given unto me. You know, we are absorbed with power. Political power. Oh, how I wish that would go away. Military power. Financial power. Power. We are absorbed with the concept of power. However, Jesus has an overcoming, victorious power that he is eager and willing and able to give every one of us. He's not talking political power, military power, financial power. He's talking about soul-saving power. That was their commission, brethren. That is our commission as well. And we need to be comforted because of that. Because, brethren, my opinion is we're living in the most frightening time in the history of this planet. I remember growing up when we thought the Russians were going to send the nuclear bombs over here, and we would practice hiding up under the desk as if that was going to help in a nuclear holocaust. But today, times are far, far, far more frightening than that. Scientists tell us about pandemics, diseases that are going to wipe out half the planet, if not more. Astrologers or astronomers, I always get them confused, tell us about these meteorites that are coming and they're going to crash into the earth and destroy the earth. Climatologists tell us that the ice caps are melting and we're all going to drown. And terrorist attacks are up, 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 up. We live in the darkest time in the history of the world. But in spite of that darkness, in spite of that fear, Jesus said, go and make disciples. You disciples, go and make disciples. Listen to what John said in 1 John 4:17 and 18. Remember, the Apostle John was there on the mountain in Galilee listening to Jesus. He would much later write, love has been perfected among us. What was going to allow them to take the message to the world? Love. Love has been perfected or completed in us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as Jesus is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. I'm not saying we shouldn't keep these things in the back of our minds, but we need to take evangelism to the front of our minds. John also says in 1 John 1:5 and following, this is the message which we heard from Jesus and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we're not telling the truth. We're not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light with God, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Let's look at verse 19. Let's begin our conclusion with verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This phrase, go make, is elsewhere and probably better translated in the Greek language as you go. As you go into all the world, make disciples, baptize them, and so forth. And isn't that what happened not long after this commission was given in what we call the Great Dispersion? When, as the book of Acts says, they went everywhere preaching the truth. As they went to the farthest places on the planet, they preached the truth. That's why the gospel spread. Now, perhaps this phraseology is better understood by us than it even was of them, because we're on the go society. We're an on the go society. We go to church, we go to school, we go to work, we go to the library, we go to the filling station, we go get groceries. Go, 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 go. We plan activities, school activities, family activities, personal activities. We're on the go all the time. That's probably why most of us are tired quite often. We know that Jesus is our Savior. We know that we are citizens of heaven. But we also know that we're living in a hectic, busy, on-the-go world. And Jesus understood that. Yet he said, go make disciples. Go and evangelize. However, not only did he commission them, he promised them that he would be with them. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the very end. Brethren, the Church of our Lord, or Christianity, however we want to think about it, is not a shrine to a dead teacher. It's the home of a living Lord. And we can take that promise to the bank that Jesus will be with us always, even when we're knocking on the doors of our neighbors, even when we're knocking on the doors of strangers, even when we're going into neighborhoods that we don't feel comfortable, Jesus will still be with us to the very end. Let me share this with you, and then we will extend the invitation. Not long ago, I received an email. It brought to my attention a very, very interesting point, a very valid point. You remember back in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, the angel said, "You will call his name Emmanuel, God with us." Brethren, today God is with us. He's not against us. And believing that, we also believe his promise. "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Even while we're carrying out the gospel, carrying the gospel in the Great Commission. Perhaps the message has touched someone's heart today. There's nothing miraculous going to happen. You're going to hear the truth and you're going to develop a faith. And when your faith is strong enough, you're going to be ready to acknowledge that Jesus is your only hope of salvation. You're going to be ready to acknowledge him publicly and orally that he is the Son of God. You'll be ready to start over, be born again, baptized, as Peter said, which is for the remission of your sins. And maybe that time is now. Maybe that day is today. But there are also other reasons why the invitation is to be extended. Sometimes we find ourselves engulfed in sin and we find it difficult to regain our balance and crawl to safety. Prayer will help us do that. God is eager to forgive us of all of our sins. This congregation is eager to pray with you and for you and do everything we possibly can to help all of us get to heaven. Just like Jesus, we're here to seek and save that which is lost. And so the number we'll be singing is number 885. There's only three verses. Don't delay. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, please come as we stand and sing. We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he has given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. In heaven, no drooping nor pining, no wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Pure waters of life there are flowing, and all who will drink may be free. Rare jewels of splendor are glowing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Very seldom do I do this, but I'd like to say something that I think is going to be humorous. I'm not really sure. Our resident hunters, Sherry and Doug Colvin, have made it back. The deer season is over. We welcome them home. He has even promised me some venison. Be sure and congratulate Sherry. She got an 8-point buck. Doug took a spike. But Sherry took an 8-point buck, and we're very, very proud of both of them, especially the 8-point buck. Let's sing the first verse of 453. Please remember we have the fellowship luncheon immediately after this. We're not going to run out of food. And I have been in the annex. It is beautifully decorated. It has two different places of background for some snapshots, some photos. So if you left your phone in the car with the camera, bring your phone over there. You'll want to take some pictures there. Just the first verse of 453. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted even me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day you've given us where we can all get together and praise you and your Son for everything that you've given us in our wonderful lives. And please let us know that no matter how scary and how many tests this world puts us through, you have a plan for us and will watch over us. It's in your Son's holy name we pray, amen.